grace, peace, and mercy to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Dear brothers and sisters of our Lord and Savior, Jesus, well, isn't this incredible from the gospel today that we heard? I mean, you'd think that Jesus would have come ASAP, PDQ, right? I mean, Mary and Martha, they prayed like they had never prayed before in their lives. They put out the 911 pastoral emergency call that went something like this: Lord, your best friend Lazarus is very, very sick. We know that he's not going to last long, maybe not even through the day. And so common sense and proper etiquette demands that you drop everything in order to visit the close friend when the end is near. But instead, if you know the text, Jesus dares to show up after Lazarus has died and has been buried. Days have gone by, and then he shows up. Can you trust a Jesus like that? A too late to help kind of Jesus, who doesn't seem to care, Jesus? Well, of course you can. Good grief. Even when Jesus stretches your faith muscles to the breaking point. Nothing, I tell you, nothing can separate you, Lazarus, Kim, or anyone else who believe in Jesus from the love of God that is revealed there on the cross when Jesus died for all of us. Not even death in the grave is too powerful for Jesus. And so such love of his friends and the people in Bethany, Jesus comes to that town and grave. And what is the first thing that he does? He preaches a sermon. Wasting no time, Jesus gets right to the point. Your brother will rise again, he says. And then a little more, a clincher. He says, I'm the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, even though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. And then the real biggie. Do you believe this? Well, do you? That's the salvific question. Martha does. Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. Beautiful. That's magnificent. The Lord Jesus has brought her to the faith point. Faith in him. She trusts Jesus now with everything. She trusts Jesus in everything, even with her brother's death. And so too, all of you who are gathered here today, Jesus would have you trust only in him, even in the midst of death, especially with Kim's death. Resurrection and life, Jesus marches straight to the cemetery, right to the graveside, where his good friend Lazarus has been entombed, tucked into bed, waiting for the resurrection of the body on the last day when Jesus will shout, time to get up, everyone. But as the text indicated quite clearly, there were a few doubters who were doubting, scoffers scoffing, mockers mocking, haters hating. Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying? Huh? And such doubting, unbelief, mocking, and scoffing caused Jesus to be deeply moved, the text says, and moved to tears. I think that's why he cries. I think it's the unbelief that he encounters among those people gathered there is why he cries. That's why he's deeply moved in spirit. And so he blasts off one last prayer. Father, I thank you that you at least have heard me. I know that you always hear me, but I said that I'm the resurrection of life on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me. And now Jesus then, at that moment, illustrates that he truly is the resurrection and the life. He is who he says he is. He barks out another sermon. Lazarus, come out. His words do what they say. The man who died came out, the text says, his hands and feet bound with linen cloths and his face wrapped with a cloth. And then in verse 45, we are told that many of the Jews who saw what he had done believed in him. Well, you too, thanks be to God, all because Jesus, Good Friday and Easter Jesus, has risen from the grave. Death could not hold Jesus, and so he is the first fruits of those that sleep, including Kim. Her resurrection from the dead, her resurrection from the grave is certain and sure because the Lord Jesus Christ has risen from the dead. Jesus is the Lord over everything, over all our sin, death, hell, the grave, you name it. He's the Lord. He's the resurrection and the life for all of you and for Kim. Now, many of you were surprised or perhaps quite shocked at how fast Kim died. He was quick, really quick. Keeping that in mind, let's hear once again from the second reading today what Paul said, his comforting words of promise of the bodily resurrection that he learned from Jesus. Listen carefully again. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. And did you notice how fast it's going to happen? Listen, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised imperishable and we shall all be changed. I'm telling you, your minds will be blown at how fast the resurrection of the body will take place on the day that Jesus reveals himself in glory to judge the living and the dead. And so, just like at the grave of Lazarus, so too at our graves, at Kim's grave, resurrection and life, Jesus will preach another sermon on the last day when he will say, "Time to wake up, sleepyheads. Time to get up out of your beds. It's resurrection morning." And his words will do and give what they say. Jesus, my friends, always has the say-so. Jesus always gets the last word. Death doesn't. The grave doesn't, because Jesus is the Lord who destroyed death and the grave on the third day. But on the last day, at the Lord's command, Kim's mortal and perishable body will put on immortality and imperishability. And it will be done in the twinkling of an eye. Talk about quick, huh? Now I've got one more pastoral goodie to give to all of you. And it's this. Because of what our Lord promises today in John 11, and because what we've heard from the apostle in 1 Corinthians, all our prayers for Kim's recovery and all of her prayers for her bodily healing were not a colossal waste of time. Do you realize that? Many of you, Tom, Janelle, Doug, Christy, Brad, prayed fervently for that. I know you did, and so did I. And her brothers and sisters of Christ here at Trinity and in the community, we all did the same. Jesus has heard those prayers. He has heard your 911 emergency prayer. And on the last day, Resurrection Day, you will delightfully see with your eyes that your prayers for her bodily healing are answered at last. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall all be changed. Resurrection and life, Jesus will wake Kim from the sleep of death and give her a new resurrected body for eternal life. And Kim, no doubt, will probably be just as joyfully surprised as all of us by saying, "Well, that was sure quick. Didn't I just fall asleep?" Thank you, Jesus. All right, I've got to wrap this up. Tom and Janelle, in faith's confidence that Jesus is the resurrection and the life, and that he keeps his promises, we all will join you in one last act of parental love for your dear daughter, Kim. Like you did when she was a little girl at home, when it was time to go to bed at night, we'll tuck her into bed, the bed of her grave, to await the resurrection of her body on the last day. Now, here's what I want you to do. I want you to tell her, "We'll see you in the morning, honey. Resurrection morning." And you will, because Jesus says so. Again, when that happens, what joy, and how swiftly, as the text says from Corinthians, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, happy believing and trusting in Jesus. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.